Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to a very special Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. I know we just had an episode released with the lovely and talented Kate Chastain from Below Deck. I hope you'll all listen to that interview with Kate because I thought she was lovely. But we had a couple weeks there where there was just one episode being released of Everything Iconic and we had the live shows. So I wanted to come back with a bang. So we have an extra episode this week with two people that I'm really sort of obsessed with. They run the Instagram account Comments by Celebs. Their names are Emma Diamond and Julie Kramer. They run at Comments by Celebs, which if you don't follow that Instagram account, you have to. It's fantastic. Basically, what they do is they take screenshots of when celebrities comment to each other. So when they comment back and forth to each other, they take a screenshot and they post it. And then on their podcast, they talk about these posts. And they're experts in pop culture. They're pop culture historians. So I had them on the show to talk all things pop culture, Bravo, social media, all of it. And we really broke down the Emmys. Did you guys watch the Emmys? I thought the Emmys was a little bit boring, but I love the fashions. But the Emmys needed a host, I thought. I thought they needed a host. Anyway, we talk about it all. And so I want to encourage you all to listen to their podcast, Comments by Celebs, if you don't already. They will keep you up to date on all things pop culture. We also got into social media of famous people, which I find so fascinating. And we'll be back with a recap of The Real Housewives of Orange County and The Real Housewives of Dallas later this week. But for now, I want you to enjoy my chat with Emma Diamond and Julie Kramer from Comments by Celebs. Before I get to that chat, I want to say, please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook, it's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. If you want to support this show, go to patreon.com/everythingiconic. If you click become a patron, you could donate $4 more per month and you get access to the bonus episodes, one per month. I just posted a recap of the very first episode of The Real Housewives of Orange County, so you can listen to that over there. And without further ado, please welcome my guests. And again, go follow their account. They also run Comments by Bravo, Comments by Influencers, Comments by Bachelor. And it's truly like I'm obsessed with these accounts because it's so fun and voyeuristic to see celebrities messaging each other and commenting on each other. And so it was really fun to take a little break from Bravo. We get into Little Bravo, but it was fun to take a little break and just talk generally pop culture. So please enjoy my chat with Comments by Celebs. How are you two doing today?
We're good. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to chat with you guys because I feel like you know everything about pop culture in general. But tell me about the Instagram account. How did that start?
Yeah. So it started in 2017 in April, basically right when Instagram changed their algorithm to highlight celebrity comments. We just saw it and we kind of became addicted to it.
So the algorithm changed so that the celebrity comments were showing up first, right?
Yeah. So previously, if you were scrolling down Instagram, the bottom two that you would see were just the most recent. It could be from anyone. And the first change they made was that the bottom two were from people that were relevant to you, that you followed, or public figures. And then, you know, that's when we first did it. And then the second change was where all the blue checks go to the top. And that kind of like changed our life.
Oh my God. So
you guys thought about
it
like right away, right off the bat. You were like, oh, that's something. We should hop on that.
Honestly, within a week, I think, of noticing is when I made the account and asked Julian. That's how it started. God.
And then the podcast. When did you start the podcast?
In July, right?
July of 18.
Yeah, started in July of last year.
And launched with Queen Icon legend Kelly Ripa.
Yes,
I mean, is there anyone better?
No one. No one better.
Kelly, truly, we say this everywhere we go because it couldn't be more true. She is the kindest, most like supportive person we could have ever imagined.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Has anyone ever told you sort of look like Lola, her daughter?
Yes.
So her daughter was our intern this summer. And everyone always said that to us. And when we met, I was like, do you guys see it? And what'd you say?
I said, I didn't know if I saw it at first, but then as we were together, I was like, sometimes it really catches me off guard and I see it. And by the way, talk about equally like a great compliment on both sides.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, stunning. No, it's like, yeah. You know, sometimes you get a compliment, like you look like that. And it's like offensive to at least one person. Right. This one, it's like doubly, it's like great on both sides.
The only thing I'm offended about is that family's so good looking. Like everyone in the family is just unfair. Better looking than the next.
Every single one. Yeah. And nicer than the next.
So seriously. Nice. And so she actually sort of helped the Instagram account too, because didn't she talk about it on live?
Yeah.
Right?
It was gave us a big boost. It was the first one. We had this really funny interaction with her. It was like right before the Oscars. And she ended up speaking about it on live. And it was the craziest thing because we got like, what was it, like thousands and thousands of followers right away. And then each time coast, we would get it again. Oh, so it gave us this huge boost. That's really when we attribute the real start of it, I think.
For sure.
Do you two watch talk shows? I'm a talk show junkie. Do you ever check in? Like, do you watch Wendy, The View, The Talk, any of these?
I don't watch that many. Honestly, if I'm going to watch in the morning, it's either like Kelly. I watch Daily Pop sometimes.
Oh, right.
But I'm not a huge, are you?
No, I watch the clips if there's something that happens significant. Something that I find that it's helpful when we do our podcast is to have not listened to them. That way their opinions aren't kind of in our head when we do it.
Right.
So I like if there's one part where it's like Kim on The View, then I'll watch that part. Yeah. But I don't have to like sit there and like listen to all their opinions. Then I feel like mine get jaded.
Right. Now, in terms of Instagram, who are the best celeb follows? Like, who do you recommend people follow?
Okay. We always say it depends who you're looking for, right? Like if you are looking for awesome video content, Will Smith is your guy. Right. He is so creative. He hires a team basically to come with him to do very mundane activities, and it just makes for such exciting content. If you're looking for, you know, consistent good clapbacks, that's like a Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, yeah, good right? one. Chrissy, of course, is a classic.
Chrissy Teigen. And you guys do like a weekly Chrissy Teigen roundup, which I love.
We do Sunday nights.
Last night, we was like midnight LA time. We usually post at like 10 Eastern time. We're like, fuck.
Yeah. Can we curse on this?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, you can. What makes Chrissy so like, what is it about Chrissy on social media? Because I find that too. And I mean, she's brilliantly clever and witty, but there's also like a relatability to her.
Totally.
That's what it is. I think we found that with most celebrities that they're more likable, the more relatable they are. And she, it's not like she doesn't acknowledge her star power. She totally does. And she kind of makes light of it. But at the same time, she has such real person problems. And I don't know. She's just really a good person all around. I'm like,
oh my God.
We're big supporters of her, like personally and professionally.
She just followed me last week on Instagram. Mazel and I got Mazel so tov. Excited. I was very excited.
Well, she's huge in the Bravo world.
Right,
I think that's another reason that like people really love her and makes her so relatable is because she fangirls all about all of these people that we do too. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we're fangirling over you. You're fangirling over these like Bravo celebrities. Right. And it just makes her so relatable.
Yeah.
I want to talk about some other trends in social media. So one of the things that I notice is this thing about like these bromances. So it's like Jake Gyllenhaal and Tom Holland or Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman, where it's like a very public sort of display of affection between the two of them. And it's obviously like such a way for them to hype their vehicles. Mm-hmm. But I always think, and maybe you guys have some insight in this, it seems like there must be some social media teams that are doing this for them. But have you noticed that trend where like these male straight celebrities are kind of doing these public bromances?
Absolutely. It's for sure a trend. I know you have a lot to say.
You go first.
Well, I was going to say that.
I love you both.
It totally depends, I think, on the person in terms of your question about who's doing it for them. Like Ryan Reynolds is genuinely that funny and he's not stupid about it. Like a lot of times he's promoting his gin line or he's promoting his movies, but that's really him versus there are some other people when I think sometimes we can tell, you know, that was a pre-planned thing, right?
Totally. I think also bromances have always been a thing in Hollywood. And I think there's always something that we've paid attention to. It's just now we're seeing them like comment very intimately back and forth, where we've always had these like really strong male connections and male friendships in Hollywood. But now like think about it, like the Leo Brad Pitt gang, all of them. Imagine if 10 years ago we were seeing them commenting on each other's Instas about going out. This is just what we're experiencing now on social media rather than like through the news.
Totally. And like a Leo Brad situation. So Leo is one of those who, you know, for a fact, he doesn't do his social media. I don't even think he pretends. It's all like the environmentalist, really detailed paragraphs, whatever. And Brad Pitt doesn't even have one. So I feel like there are some where we're not even privy to what that could be like if they did. Like, don't you always think of that? Like, there's so many that I would love to know what it would be like if David Schwimmer and whoever was more active. I don't know.
It's been interesting you mentioned David Schwimmer, because the Friends 25th anniversary is right now. And I noticed, like, some of them are on social media, but some of them are not, the main cast members. And they were all posting about Friends. And there's become this weird line between, like, SponCon and, if like, is it real or is it just a paid advertisement? And that was an instance just the other day where I thought, is NBC paying them? They were all posting the same photo of, like, the 25th anniversary. And I thought, are they doing this because they're celebrating the anniversary? But then they all seem to have the same paragraph and the same photo. So was NBC, who's paying for this? I feel like it's...
I think there's definitely some involvement for things like that. I don't even know if it's monetary necessarily. I know that may seem sound really naive, but like it is such an iconic thing to celebrate it, right?
I think it's both. I mean, that whole cast loves the show and they still feel really strongly about it. And Courtney Cox still will post, you know, she posted a video outside the apartment and her and Lisa Kudrow are very close still, and Jen Aniston, they stay really close friends. And I believe there's a movie coming out celebrating the 25th that's going to be like a docu in theaters. So there could be some promotional aspect, which is why it's the same across the board, the same picture and the same caption. But I honestly think at least Lisa and Courtney would be doing it anyway.
And we like to see it. I mean, we all want to keep that show alive a little bit, but it's just been a very aggressive, like, social media push.
I know. Especially with the pop-up shop that was in New York. It just feels like a lot of friends in our face right now.
And even in terms of that line that's confusing is J-Lo's dress. So you guys, of course, I mean, she looked amazing, right? It was like the best. Stunning. But that when she walked the runway for in the Versace dress again, there was all this press everywhere. And then it was revealed later that it was like a partnership with Google. And so I thought, this is another instance where I'm like, I'm not sure if this is a paid advertisement or if it may be a mix of the two.
Okay, so the thing with things like that is, to me, I have to imagine Google-wise there was some sort of, you know, advertisement going on. But that is when I think companies are the smartest. It's like, get in on giant pop culture moments that are going to be talked about anyway, because then nobody's going to be annoyed about seeing it. If anything, they're going to kind of like commend you for being so in the know. So yeah, I think it was a totally a combination of both. And when the lines are blurred, that's when it's the best. Like if I ever did advertising for a brand, we always say that's the kind of stuff we'd be all over. For example, different, but this is a little different example. I know you know what I'm going to say.
I was going to say it too.
When Jordan Gate happened, hotels.com tweeted like, if anybody's looking for a hotel in the Calabasas area, because she got kicked out of Kylie's house. That is so smart.
That's right. Yeah.
People love really like intelligent advertisements, and they like when they're in on this joke or this thing. And so with J-Lo being a partner with Google, because of the whole thing that happened with Google Images being created because of that dress, it was such a seamless partnership that it wasn't thrown in our faces and it wasn't overly too much or didn't seem inorganic. It was like, oh my God, how genius for, first of all, them to bring this to our attention that J-Lo was the one that J-Lo's dress started Google Images, because I had no idea, and also do it with a partnership with Google at the same time.
Right. It was brilliant marketing. I mean, when I found out it was Google, I was just so amazed that they had thought of that in advance, because and it played into the nostalgia that we all love. I mean, there was just so many things at play that I thought were so perfect.
So
one of the social media things that I didn't think was so perfect, and I know you two have a lot of thoughts on this, is of course Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello. So they recently posted this video of them making out, and it was very hard to see. It was like, what was going on? And we were all confused. What are your thoughts about the makeout video between Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello?
Oh, I thought you never asked.
Seriously. Waiting here for 10 minutes for this already.
I always get to talk about Bravo on this show, so it's nice to be able to talk about something like this.
Yeah, we'd love to help out in that area.
Okay, I know we both have so many thoughts. I'll just start by saying, I think hard to watch is a perfect way to put it. I said this on our podcast, like, I want to first acknowledge the fact that, at least they were, you know, in the know enough to kind of like make fun of themselves. So if we want to be admirable for a second, like, let's commend them on that. They clearly were making a joke of it, which is a lot more than a lot of people can say. So for everybody that's so anti them, like, let's take that. But to me, it was so bold and so kind of cringeworthy. And we've been vocal from the beginning that we really respect them both as artists and as people, but we think there's like 0% legitimacy to this relationship. So to do this, we were just like, you got to just stop. Like, you just have to stop.
Part of me thinks
it crossed the line, right? It crossed the line.
But part of me thinks it also would have been worse if they just regular made out. Like, I still would have been like, why? Just like, stop. Like, I don't know. It was just, Who let them? When I watch it every single time, I'm like, who let you do this? And who thought it was a good idea?
And I had seen something online, and I don't know if this was true or not, but there was like a rumor that they had filmed it like months prior because they were wearing like similar outfits that somebody had matched up to an event or something that they had done. So allegedly they had been holding on possibly to this video and then just posted it last week. And it's like, what is the play here?
Yeah, I saw that too. Did you see that? I think you've got Omel posted it.
My thing is just like, if you're... Okay, here's the thing that I think is so key. We don't technically know their goal, but if we're going to go under the suspicion or my belief that their goal was to further prove legitimacy to the relationship by like making fun of themselves, to me this was the last thing they should have done, because think about any other real couple, they would have never done that. Like, we'll never get that from even an Ashton and Mila, which she doesn't get realer. So to me it was kind of just like continuing the PR stunts that I feel like a lot of us are frustrated by.
Right. That's the thing, is that I think the reason that people are frustrated with Sean and Camilla isn't just because of the relationship and not believing it. It's because I think that they think that they're like pulling a fast one on us, or that their audience is more gullible than we actually are. And it's like, it's almost offensive at this point where you're like, why? I know you're not doing this for real. And especially if you're going to do something like wear the same outfit and have the similar hotel room that somebody can match up. It's like, your audience is so observant and so obsessed with you guys that of course they're going to figure that out. You have to give people more credit than that.
Yes. They're too dumb about it. They need to be a little bit smarter about it. And somebody on their team needs to step up and say, you guys are wearing the same outfit as you were 2 months ago.
Right. And the other thing they always say is that there's that video of them making out in Miami, everywhere in Miami.
This is Julie's favorite point.
My favorite thing. I can't get over it. Please. Because first of all, you're on a public beach in Miami. Camilla has lived in Miami since she was 5 years old. You're going to tell me you don't know where the private beach is? And second of all, you're at the Soho House making out in the pool and somebody's filming that?
Yeah.
Please. No, it literally makes me angry.
Every time we talk about it, she like perks up in her chair and is like so passionate. And I get it.
Who allows pictures at the Soho House?
I think also, sorry, last thing on this is
don't apologize. I love it.
We would get so into it.
I'm not promising last thing on this.
Yeah, you do not. This is not a few last
things. That was her promise.
Yeah. It's just that we like them both as individuals. Like, I find them both to be really respectful, really kind, like from what we know, obviously good people, excellent performers. You can't say either of them are not talented. So it's kind of like, you don't need to do this.
They both have that it factor. They don't need press of this.
I would be singing Senorita every day of my life, whether or not you guys were faking a relationship.
And on some level, I think Senorita would have been a more successful hit or be more appealing to people like us who are watching this facade. We would be listening to Senorita and not thinking of it as some sort of public.
Exactly.
Right.
Just my
every Sean song's a bop anyway. Yeah, I didn't need publicity. If anything, it's like it comes on and I'm like, well, never mind now.
Yeah.
I feel like he's young and he's just must have people kind of guiding him that maybe they make decisions like this that are not the right ones. But he's so young. And I always have to remind myself of that. I'm like, oh, he's like, what is he, 20?
Yeah, he's young.
Yeah, he's
young.
Could
you imagine? Yeah.
And it's a huge microscope. Okay, speaking of other celebrities that are young and in relationships, what do you make of Miley and Caitlyn and Brody and Liam?
Wow.
What do you make of
all this? Well, they apparently broke up.
Miley and Caitlyn broke up, right? Did you think it was a real relationship?
I thought it was a real, like, hookup that got taken too far by the media, and then they wanted to play into it and then just got ahead of themselves too quickly. And there was like, there were reports they were moving in together. She was seen constantly, Caitlyn was seen constantly with Miley's mom hanging out. And it's like, no one can start a relationship like that, especially coming out of a 10-year relationship and a divorce and being so public, and then to try and take it. There's no way you could turn that into like a healthy, real relationship.
And it was so soon after both of the breakups.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, first off, what I said to you last night is like, I don't know. How do we even know that these rumors are true that her and Caitlyn, quote, broke up, if they did? Like, I don't think we got...
Oh, she commented on a picture, actually. I saw that.
Yeah, so Miley posted a picture from the performance in Las Vegas, I guess, and Caitlyn commented, like, get it, and people were saying, is that real, or are they just friends? Like, no one... If you look at any of the reports, it doesn't say that anybody was hostile. It says that they just decided to end. So it's potential that they could still just be friends. My thing was, like... Exactly.
Wait, so do you think they were always just friends and then the media kind of made it into a relationship? Or maybe, like you said, a hookup and not necessarily more than a hookup.
I think they were trying to like go for this friends who hook up vibe. And, you know, when you're a normal person, sure, do the friends who hook up thing. No one's looking at you and saying it. But as soon as you're a celebrity and you're in a public club and you're making against the wall, which was like a report from no more than last week, then it's like no one is buying this narrative that you're just friends, even if you have established that among yourselves.
Yeah. I don't know. I get torn on it. I think they were totally were hooking up. I agree. I think I agree with everything you're saying, actually. And I also think that, you know, everybody was made like with Brody and Caitlin at first, people were like, oh my God, you know, that's so fast. First off, Brody's with Josie Canseco, number one. He couldn't care less. Him and Caitlin are totally fine. Everything we've heard, both from like inside people and not, is that there's nothing bad there, kind of like no bad blood, which I totally believe. He's doing his thing. If anything, for me, my initial concern, because I'm so fucking concerned, was Liam, like what's going on with him. Right. But I can't choose to believe that. And I know a lot of people, and even us, we said it seems so quick, and like that's insensitive of Miley. I just feel like I trust Miley's character more I don't believe that if it was actually that fragile that she would be doing this. Like mm-hmm. I think she has more respect for him than a lot of people are giving her credit for, and so I think that they must have an understanding that we're just not privy to.
Right. I mean, now the news reports also are that Liam found out through social media. I guess they had separated is what news is saying. They had separated and they were still trying to make it work. And then Liam had found out through news reports that Miley was officially came out with a statement. I don't know if I believe that. Although at the same time, it's like if that news reports everywhere, both sides of that should be shutting that down if it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Like for Miley, that's such a terrible look. And she should say like, no, we had a conversation. It was all clear. We were on the same page. And Liam's camp, if it's not true, should come out and say something as well, because that's like a really, that changes the whole thing. If mm-hmm. he really found out like that and it was really through online and she just released the publication, then that changes everything that I think I know about Miley, because you're right. Like in my head, like Miley has way more respect for him and for their relationship than to do that.
It's just such a disconnect between, because Miley's so out there with her everything and in social media and the public eye, and Liam always seems so reserved. So I think it's almost like human nature for all of us to be like, oh, poor Liam, just because we don't know as much about Liam as we do Miley. But from everything that I've heard, like even people that work with Miley, and years ago I worked on something with Miley, and she's so sweet, and I feel like I've never heard a bad word from somebody that has like been in her circle or worked with her on anything. Like in a lot of stars, you know, in New York and LA, like you hear things, somebody works as a PA or whatever, and you always hear bad things about people. But Miley's like one of those people that I've never heard a bad word about.
Never.
And I'm certain that doesn't mean she's perfect. It's just an interesting thing.
Yeah, just like a messy divorce shouldn't necessarily like characterize who you are as a person, because it's just so much insight that we just don't get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the older generation on social media, like my queen is Mariah Carey. I love her so much. But also people like Celine Dion. We talked a little bit about J-Lo. And I've noticed within the past couple of years, it seems like the older generation, of course, I'm not inferring that they're old by any means, but, you know, we're talking about Miley and a little bit older than that. But what do you make of the social media presence of these older celebrities trying to kind of navigate? And I noticed there's been a shift within probably the past year where the social media presence of someone like Celine Dion is much higher, and it seems like she's leaning in more. And certainly it seems like she has more people on her team. Like, what do you make of that?
Oh, I have so many thoughts. Well, so we had Charles Porch on our podcast. We did a bonus episode, and he's the head of global creative programs at Instagram. And he's kind of like the one that onboards a lot of these people. And he was saying, we asked him like a trend, what you think is a trend. And he was like, I think that this has been the year of really iconic Hollywood actresses like joining Instagram. For example, Candace Bergen, who, if you guys don't follow Candace Bergen on Instagram, like, and I'll make a comparison to Celine Dion in a minute, Candace is 100% her. Right. When she was on that ship with Meryl Streep filming, I am not kidding, she must have posted 20 pictures in the course of like 10 hours showing you guys every single room of the boat. Meaning exactly how a real grandmother that age or mother that age would post. You know what I mean? Like, she's how my aunt posts. Mm-hmm. Versus like a Celine Dion, where everything is signed X Team Celine. Mm-hmm. Or like a Julia Roberts, who does her own but has her comments turned off because she doesn't want to engage. And I just think it's been so interesting. And they've realized, you and I always talk about this, like, this is so true to me, that I think back in the day, your Mariah Careys and your Celine Dions used to be untouchable. And it's not that they're not, but I think even their teams realize, even someone that iconic, it's so important that you have a presence on social media. Like, no one's above it.
Right.
You know?
It's such an important thing to sell anything nowadays.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's all about relevancy. Even Celine Dion that we were just saying, is there was that whole thing with Drake saying that he wanted to get a tattoo of Celine Dion's face. And I think it was Complex that posted it, like a Photoshop picture of Celine Dion on Drake's face. And Celine Dion commented, and it, of course, it said dash team Celine. But for these, like older generation of Hollywood stars to understand that, first of all, not only is it a bad thing to be on social media, it helps you stay relevant, it helps you stay important, it can also help you stay funny, and people mm-hmm. love funny. Right. So like to see, even if it's Team Celine, you know that, you know, she had some sort of approval with this, and she's aware of the fact that Drake wanted to tattoo her face on it. It just makes her funny and more relatable and more in with this generation. But it also, it doesn't change the fact that we still think of Celine as Celine. Like, right. she's still the queen. It doesn't change anything about it. She's just more present in our lives.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I was just reading an article from, an interview with Jennifer Aniston, and she was talking about social media and her aversion to it.
Yeah.
And I thought, it seems like such an outdated notion now. Like, I understand 5 years ago, people like Reese Witherspoon going into Vogue and being interviewed and saying, I don't want to join social media. But now it's almost like, what, that's not a thing anymore. Like, right. you have to get on, even if you do want to keep that wall up a little bit and have Team Aniston be signing it off. And I love her so much.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it seems like such a weird stance to take in 2019 to be like, I don't want to do social media.
Totally. And there are very few that have done that, like the Angelina Jolies, the Brads of the world. I do think, though, honestly, with certain celebrities like a Jennifer Aniston, who is so loved, that it really, I know it may come off kind of like a holier than thou thing. I don't think that's what it is. I think if anything, it's honestly like a fear, like similar to a Julia Roberts, of like, I've successfully avoided this toxicity. It's like, why do I need to open myself up to that kind of? I genuinely feel that way.
I agree. I think that a lot of celebrities feel that the same thing that you were saying, that they've made it so far. Why am I going to join now? And some of celebrities, I feel like it would be weird to see them on social media. Like, for example, Leonardo DiCaprio, he's on, but his feed is so curated that you know it's not him. It would be weird to see him commenting something funny on somebody's. It just would be out of place. But with somebody like Angelina Jolie, she could have her social media and beyond and run it the same way Leonardo DiCaprio does, where it's so curated. And she does so much with UNICEF and so much with other work that she can have a place where she keeps everybody updated. It can be totally run by a team. And we're still getting a glimpse into mm-hmm. something and mm-hmm. still, you know, being able to relate with her without it being like this 2019 notion of celebrities on Instagram where everyone's interacting and everyone's commenting. Like, think about Beyonce. Anytime Beyonce posts, it's the greatest day of our lives.
It's an event.
It's a holiday. But it's still like, it's so curated. It's so behind the scenes, but she's still giving us something. Uh-huh. So you don't have to, you know, have this full on social media out like we're seeing now, where everything's just behind the scenes. Just give us something.
You know, I think of Oprah and how she really leaned into social media the past couple of years. And it's like, she really will post anything. And for so many years, we all thought of Oprah as kind of like the biggest celeb or one of the mm-hmm. biggest celebs in the world. And now we see her picking from her garden. And
I don't
stuff.
Know what I would do if I didn't see her picking from her garden.
Right. I mean, I literally don't know. Right.
And she's also clapped back a few times. There was one where they were talking about Maya Angelou and she clapped back and was like, no, I have permission to call her Maya. It's like, we are living in a world where Oprah is clapping back on Instagram. It's almost cooler than anything we've seen.
And so exciting for people like us who are obsessed with pop culture to have an accessibility to these people. I mean, I commenting back and forth with like someone like Jennifer Garner or Michelle Pfeiffer or something. And I think like growing up in Ohio, I would have never thought I had any sort of opportunity to communicate with these people.
Right, yeah.
And now it is a weird thing. It's very weird. Who would you love to take over their social media account? Like, who do you think needs like a little help with that?
We actually had this discussion the other day where there's just so many people that were like, this is such a missed opportunity for you. And I wish I could just tell you.
The instance Julie's talking about, I'm not saying we want to take over her social media, but the fact that Kylie Jenner posted her Playboy shoot and Kris Jenner didn't comment, you're doing amazing, sweetie, which for anybody who doesn't know, although I'm going to give you all credit that you guys know this.
They know.
Yeah, yeah. It's obviously from Kim's first Playboy shoot. That's when your iconic, you're doing amazing, sweetie line came. So that was like a huge missed opportunity to us. Not saying we want to fully take over Chris's. She clearly is doing well. But like certain things like, who did I say to you?
There's so many comments that I look and I'm like, can I just Photoshop it?
Yeah,
like obviously we would never and like we don't. But like there's just so many times where I'm like, I know exactly what would get you 300,000 likes on a photo, right? On our picture right now.
Yeah.
Like it's not for us. It's for you. I'm like, oh my God.
Wait.
The fact that Jennifer Lawrence is not on Instagram, it's criminal.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, what?
Why isn't she there? She would be the perfect Chrissy Teigen-esque person to be on.
Exactly. Like, Courtney Cox does a damn good job.
She's doing really great right now.
She does a damn good job. There's a lot of people like that. As we talk, I'm going to think of more because there are so many where we say all the time, like, just come to, talk about takeover from a different angle, Brittany and Lindsay.
Right. Oh, so what do you make of Britney Spears' social media presence?
So keeps us up at night.
I know it's sad. And people always write me on social media and they're like, what do you make of this Britney Spears? And it's very dark to me and sad. And it's hard to even comment, I think, because I think we all want the best for Britney. And she's given us so much, as you know, especially growing up. I mean, I worship Britney Spears. Right. And so to see certain things, it's like troubling, but also I want to support her. And it's like, what do you make of it?
Oh, it's a loaded question. I mean, you want to go first?
Yeah, I think the thing with Britney is
also,
it's
are
one
we
of
talking
those...
a lot? We had so much coffee.
No, I love
yeah.
it. No,
I feel like we're, no, if you please. Tell us to just shut up.
No. Yeah, we will immediately shut up. I think with Britney, it's so hard because when you first look at it, you're like, this is so dark and this is so sad and we have to help her and we have to do something. But then there's the other side of it that people always bring to us also. And they're like, what if it is dark and sad, but they're doing everything for her that they can, because we're always approaching it with this idea. And I'm not saying that's right. It's just, what do we know? And we're always approaching this idea like, we have to help her. We have to get her out of this conservatorship. We have to get her out of this situation. She'll be fine when she is. But how do we know that she'll be fine? What does that next part of her life look like if she is out of that? Could she handle that? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think how you started is so true. It's kind of like, we have zero knowledge. Truly. I think out of any celebrity, this is maybe one that we have the least in terms of ones that are in the public, like so public like that. So it's so easy for us to want to come in and like help. But then you think exactly what Julie was saying. I don't know. I'm not, who am I to say, right? Yeah. But my intuition is that there's something, she just doesn't seem happy. You guys have to see, by the way, can I tell them about this decor? I'm freaking out over it.
Yeah. Oh my God. And I moved some stuff from the table. I wanted to get rid of the whole tablescape because it was in the way, but
it's amazing. So we walk into Danny's gorgeous apartment, first of all, which in New York, I mean, this is just, I can't even tell you guys. And it's, the table is decorated so gorgeous for Halloween.
Thank you.
So festive. You put so much energy into it. I love it. It just made me happier upon sitting down.
We may have to come back for Thanksgiving because I know there's going to be a
and
gorgeous.
Christmas.
Oh, I change the tablescape for every holiday. I love it.
I know.
And it's like my relaxation thing. Like I love going to like a Target or Home Goods or whatever and just getting the tablescape.
Like a Michael's.
Home Goods is lit.
Oh my God. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
My favorite.
Underratedly.
I was going to say though about Britney, I think it's interesting that there's some level that maybe she's just living her truth and that's how she would be if she wasn't famous, because I know women who are posting the same way she is, but because she's Britney Spears, it's almost like we expect something else on our social media. But she's posting from the gym and just like very basic things that a lot of us would post anyway, but because it's Britney Spears, we think it should be something else. So again, we don't know like what behind the scenes mechanics of it are.
Exactly.
Bravo Lebrities. You guys also have an account that's Comments by Bravo. Is it Bravo Lebs or
just Comments by Bravo?
Comments by Bravo, yep.
So whose Bravo social media do you really like? And whose do you think is not so great?
I love Bethany. I know she's not technically Bravo right now, at least. Bethany's excellent. She's as real as it comes. She does a really good job of, she does, you know, she talks about her whole humanitarian efforts, which is amazing. She also does a great job of selling her Skinny Girl brand in a really relatable way. And then she also just shows us hilarious moments of her life. I think hers is like an excellent 10 out of 10. I genuinely think her stories could be made into some sort of show or something because of how kind of candid she is.
She takes us everywhere in her stories. And a lot of times I'll look at it and I'll think it's too much, but then I'll watch the whole thing. You know
exactly
what I mean?
Well, the thing is, you see those first little bars at the top and you're like, you gotta chill. Yeah. And then you start watching and you're like, oh, I'm addicted. All I need to know is if her and her daughter Bryn, who doesn't show her face, like save the butterfly in the backyard for Hampton's house, which I didn't think I cared five bars ago. And now I'm like in deep. And
occasionally they're a little too much.
Yeah, occasionally. But most of the time I love. And then you have,
but it's
like,
hit and miss too, because she's posting so much. So
of course some are going to be
right. Stuff we're interested in, some not.
You know who really goes rogue on social? Kelly Dodd.
Yeah,
she really goes rogue.
She does not give a fuck. Whether that's between like being super flirty with her boyfriend Rick, who by the way he's equally as kind of engaged. It's Rick Leventhal.
They're
he's a newscaster.
They're very engaged with each other on social media. They're constantly coming back and forth.
It's not like it's just her. It's not like embarrassing. You know.
Yeah.
Versus kind of like a Tamara, who kind of same thing, you know, goes there. I don't know. I'm into all of them in a way.
It's interesting to me when they go back and forth. I mean, not on Instagram, but it's on Instagram a lot too, but I was thinking on Twitter, like when
Twitter
the episodes are
too,
airing where it's like Kelly and Tamara are tweeting at each other and it's almost more interesting than what's happening on the show sometimes. Like they're insulting each other on social media, and it adds this whole new level to watching these shows, because we even see on the reunions now, they'll be like, so-and-so said this to you on Instagram and you commented this and then they'll show it. I was just watching the Potomac reunion and it's like things come up on social media. And so it's added this whole layer to The Real Housewives and everything, and Vanderpump Rules, all of that on Bravo that I think is so interesting.
Yeah, the real life comes into the, quote, reality, and there's something very cool about that.
Well, that's something that we always say with, you know, Bravo celebrities is that it's a much more candid approach to social media, because with regular celebrities, you know, there are these really humorous and really amazing clapbacks, but it's much more calculated and the drama isn't really there. They try to keep it as positive as possible because they know everything's going to be a news story and they know that, it, you know, they're so careful about their image. With the Bravo celebrities, it's like, you see us on reality TV anyway. Why wouldn't we just transfer that to social media? Mm-hmm. So they're much more open and less calculated with what they respond to on social media and what they post and what drama they're going to cause. So it's a whole different approach.
It's a lot easier in a lot of ways to run like a Comments by Bravo or a Comments by Bachelor, because the content is just never ending and you get a lot more of a juicy scoop easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Emmys. Did you two watch the Emmys last night?
Yes, we did.
So who did you like on the red carpet?
I thought Zendaya looked, I've looked at every picture of her, I think, and they're all the exact same and everyone's better than the last. Did you watch Euphoria?
Yeah, I watched like the first half of it and then it was a little too dark for me.
No, you have to finish it.
But it's phenomenal.
It's phenomenal. Yeah. But I always liked her, but once I watched, I was like, fuck it, I'm obsessed. Like, and then I saw her last night and I was like, oh my God, you are a goddamn star.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Stunning. Our answers I feel like are so typical, but Mandy Moore looked
so good in the pink.
A lot of people were in the reds and the pinks.
Amelia Clarke
looked amazing. This was the best Mandy had ever looked.
Yes.
Like, I really thought, like, her makeup was flawless, her dress was interesting and a little bit different, but also, like you said, a lot of the reds and pinks were going on this year. Amelia Clarke
looked gorgeous. Sophie Turner looked amazing. I'm trying to think of who else.
You know, I wish Kendall didn't have, I know it's a look and some may totally disagree with me. I wish if she didn't have the latex kind of bodysuit at the top, I thought the bottom part of her dress was kind of just like this floral gown. I think if she did that strapless, it would have been one of the best of the night. Honestly.
Yeah, I do agree with you. People loved her look. I'm more with you, but I also am so much more into like more simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
anytime that there's a red carpet, it's like, I can understand why you want to give them best dress, but I thought Kim, which is not my best dressed, but I thought she looked flawless. A black gown with like that low cut, I just thought she looked beautiful.
Like a classic look
I think we're more into classic.
Because I always think of it, you know, I always think of it in terms of like, what would I want to see myself in? Or in my ideal world, what could I wear? With Zendaya, it was like the perfect amount of classic, not too overdone, but beautiful and chic. And like anybody, you know, ideally would be able to wear that.
I always look at the guys and think like, it's such a hard balance, because the guys are expected to be more traditional.
Yeah.
And I always want them to be a little bit more outrageous than they are. Billy Porter, of course, had that fabulous hat on and looked amazing. But then I think it would be hard to go too far outside the box for the men, because it's like, it's so expected, but that's almost why I hope they would. More.
That's why I love seeing Timothy Chalamet on a red carpet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or Michael B. Jordan. Like, those are men that know what they're doing and they do it well without being too kind of overdone.
Mm-hmm. You know who else looked amazing? I mean, boring, like not boring, but not over. Kit Harington last night just looked dapper. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's gorgeous too.
Yeah. It's hard to be like, you get so many options when you're a woman, you're walking but sometimes when men do it right and they really find something to make their outfit stand out or pop, and it's subtle, it makes a huge difference.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Do you watch scripted TV at all?
Yeah, I watch more scripted TV than reality TV.
So what do you like?
So Succession is insanely amazing. I'm not caught up on season 2, but I think it is the best show on television right now.
I agree. I think it's so phenomenal. Like, and it won for writing last night in the first season finale, and that season finale was amazing.
Yeah.
I'm an episode behind too, but I think that show's like, I think next season at the Emmys, it's going to be like the one that takes it all.
Well, because I was watching the first season when people were kind of, it was like the underground show. It was like first season of Game of Thrones, like, oh, this is good. And once people catch on, they're going to be really into it. And this season it's everywhere.
Do you think it was a slow burn though, first season? Like, I thought it was very slow up top.
Oh, interesting. But I don't know. But you also have more season two to compare it to, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, by episode seven of season one, seven, eight-ish, I was obsessed. But
yeah.
Those first few, I was kind of like, it was hard to get through.
I understand that. Yeah. I like a show that sets the scene. So I'm like able to power through. But then like, I just, there was something about it. I got her to watch Big Little Lies. Finally.
Did you like it?
She was obsessed. Well, she watched it one night.
The background is I don't watch really any scripted television, or pretty much barely. I don't really watch television actually at all. Really?
How dare you?
No. I know it's crazy running this thing. But it could have been, yes, because I don't have that much to compare it to, but it's truly Big Little Lies to me was, I've never binge watched something in my life. I watched that show in one day, I think.
I woke up and she had finished.
She's like, I'm done.
I was so proud of her. So proud of you.
I mean,
they were so amazing in it. Nicole and that.
It restored my obsession. Like, when I was a kid, I thought Nicole Kidman was the end all be all. And it, not that I lost it, but I think it just was at the back of my brain. This Celeste brought me back. Like, I was like, I get it. I get why you're a fucking icon. Yeah. I have so many thoughts on that.
I also love watching a show. It sounds like, because I know these people that love shows and they're like, I love it before anybody else discovers it. I love watching a show where everyone is watching it. Everyone's making the same observations. Everyone's making the same memes, tweets. Like, I can watch something and then go on the internet and have every single person that relates to what I was thinking throughout the episode.
In the know.
And that's what Big Little Lies was.
My boyfriend and I were just talking about how binge watching sort of started. Because I remember binge watching Lost, like the DVDs. It was, or when Netflix would
Desperate
mail
Housewives,
out the DVDs.
Desperate Housewives.
I mean, that season of TV, it was like Desperate Housewives, Grey's Anatomy, and Lost all premiered the same season. It's like, what the fuck? But I remember getting the Lost DVDs and watching them, and now we're so used to binging. Like, I have trouble watching something where I can't binge it. I like to have a bunch of episodes saved up now to watch. But now we can go on Twitter and talk about it no matter what time. We could be watching Big Little Lies 6 months later than somebody. We could still hop on Twitter and have a conversation with people. But with something like Lost in 2004, it was, you either watched it when it aired and had a conversation about it, or that was it.
Yeah, or you waited till Netflix came out with the DVDs.
Right.
Now it's one of those things where, see, I hardly ever watch cable TV. It's always a binge or like always a streaming. But I'll watch This Is Us because my mom's obsessed with it. My whole family watches it together. And I feel like what the internet has been able to do with those types of shows is you watch it, you wait a week, but there's enough conversation throughout the week that you don't go crazy waiting for the next episode.
Yeah.
And sometimes I watch episodes back of like old TV shows and I have to think to myself, like, How did we wait a full season to get this? Like, how did we wait to find out Rachel was pregnant and it was Ross's baby until the next season?
Right. I mean, I'm talking a lot about Lost because I rewatched the pilot this weekend, but I was thinking like the end of that first episode, the end of every episode of that show was like a cliffhanger. Yeah. And it's like, how did we wait? Or Grey's Anatomy or Desperate Housewives, any of those shows, how did we wait? Because it's, I mean, every single episode was ending on something. Did you guys watch Fleabag at all?
No, but I have to start. I have to watch it. Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Okay, I'm going to watch that to me next.
I love chatting with you guys. This was so much fun. Tell me about the podcast. Where can people listen?
Yeah, so it's called Comments by Celebs. You can listen, you know, Spotify, Apple, so anywhere you get your podcasts. I was telling Danny, so we do two a week. One is just a regular kind of recap of everything that happened in the world of celebrity. At the end, we do a Kardashian recap. We keep that section consolidated because they're so polarizing and some people are like us and want to talk about every little detail and some just don't care. So we try to consolidate it. We do an award ceremony where we give the funniest comment and the best clapback of the week. And then we do another show, which is our Kardashian bonus show. And we just, in season, we recap Sunday nights, Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And out of season, we do various deep dives. So when we were on hiatus, we did like a Kris Jenner deep dive, a Kanye deep dive. And sometimes we have guests. And when they come on, it's just a co-hosting thing, kind of like this. It's not really an interview. It's more like we had Katie Kirk coming on and she's talking about Cardi B.
I mean, Katie Kirk, come on. She's the best.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Have you had that you've loved? You've had Kelly Ripa, Katie Kirk, Drake Bell was on last week?
Yeah, last week.
Yeah. Lisa Rinna. Was amazing.
Justin Sylvester, who we're actually having on ours again today.
Our favorite person.
So right? The best, right, yeah. He is. Oh my God.
Gary Jannetty was amazing.
Simon Huck was so much fun.
Did I say the Fosters were?
The Fosters. Oh, we had the best time.
Aaron and Sarah. Yes. We're actually doing an event with them in New York when we get back from LA. We're interviewing them at WeWork, which will be really fun. Yeah.
Their show is so great on VH1.
They're
really
famous.
I don't know if it's still going. It's not.
I wish it was.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
We've had amazing guests. Yeah, we're very lucky.
So the Instagram accounts, it's comments by celeb, comments by Bravo, comments by Bachelor.
Comments by athletes and comments by influencers and more to come.
Oh my God, more to come. What are some comments by that you'd like to get into or daydream of getting into?
But we definitely have. Think about any niche category.
I want like a coffee table book of like the best from the year or something. That would be fun.
Funny you should say that.
Oh my God. Yeah, that'd be great.
Stay tuned.
And then so that's where people can find you guys on social media. Do you have personal accounts that you, or
we
no,
keep just them private. Private. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you both so much for stopping by. This was so much fun for me. I love talking about pop culture. Go to Comments by Celebs, and then all of the links to your other accounts are there, right?
Yeah, totally.
And listen to Comments by Celeb on Spotify, Stitcher, everywhere you listen to podcasts,
yes,
right?
And thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
This was so much fun.
This was so fun.